Welcome to episode 41 of Digital Outbox. Hello, I'm Chris, and I am joined today by Ian.
Hello.
And welcome along to our latest fun-filled edition of Digital Outbox. Is that building up a bit, do you think?
No, I think there's fun to be had today.
Yeah?
More just because I'm going to laugh at Tories again.
It's quite fun Tory bashing, isn't it, sometimes?
It's easy. You know, you just think of some sort of Lord Snooty character and imagine just make a fool of himself.
Especially when they really do put their... by trying to be, you know... we'll wait for the story to come up. We'll start with some Labour bashing, shall we? Just to even things up. So the Digital Economy Bill.
Oh dear.
Yes. We have had it pass through the Lords.
Yes.
So it looks like it's on a free rein now to get through the last Commons round. So we are going to see this turn to law. As I'm sure everyone, our regular listeners will have kept up to date with the fact that we had a clause that gave the government wide-ranging powers to amend copyright law going forward without having to be debated through the Commons. But that was rejected by some Lib Dems in the House of Lords, I understand. And they put in place an alternative clause, which seemed to actually make things worse.
Yes, well done, Lib Dems. So Clause 17 was the old clause, and Amendment 120A, just for all you stat fans out there. And this gives the High Court ability to serve an injunction against a website or an ISP to stop serving copyrighted material. So it's not like the DMCA in America, which is remove that content. It's remove the whole website. So...
Yes. So to be clear then, that means that if there's copyrighted material on YouTube, which there is, or any other website, the whole site can be taken down.
Yep.
If BBC forget to put content supplied by someone on one of their videos, they can be taken down.
Yes.
I mean, so I'm sure that's obviously, I mean, they even said, I think, in the reading that wasn't the intention of this, and they'd obviously be looking to, offer clarifications, but effectively the wording of it does mean that is a possibility.
Oh, without a doubt. And now the Lib Dems are wanting to change that amendment, and the government also want to make their own changes to that particular amendment.
And because we haven't got any more rounds to go through the House of Lords, actually there's nothing to say those amends will happen.
No.
Because we've got the budget coming up, and that's what people are going to be cared about.
Yes, so it's budget on Wednesday.
Yes.
And I guess the nasty angle to this was that and again, it's just based on facts, rumours rather than facts, but there was a memo going around from some of the record labels last week saying, this is great news, people only care about the budget and the election, and this will get rushed through the Commons without any debate. Fantastic.
What are the music industry? I mean, this is, we've largely accepted being driven by the music industry, having the ear of Lord Mandelson, and then him pushing this through. So, and he's got obviously a lot of weight in the Labour Party at the moment.
Mm.
But what are the music industry hoping to get out of this?
Because they're not going to be able to do a takedown for every single copy of a particular song or album. It's just not going to happen.
But they're going to have to go after some pretty big websites to...
Exactly.
I don't think that they've necessarily... Well, maybe they have thought it through. I mean, like we've said all along, they're looking at figures of the number of things that are being downloaded which aren't being paid for and thinking that's our money. But they're just, they'll end up not getting anything out of it.
No. And I don't know where we'll end up. I guess the worry for me is will the innocents be slapped silly with some stupid law that comes into place? And it's they're not going to take down big websites. They're not going to take down YouTube. They're not going to take down BBC.
No, it's going
That's
to be
not what this is for.
Little Johnny who put a website up that his mum didn't know about, and then gets fined, gets I don't know, shut down orders and all sorts. We'll see.
So if you, and I guess the issue is there's an e-petition up, so you can go to the number 10 site, petitions.number10.gov.uk, and don't disconnect us is the web address. But they never listen to any of these. So if you want to put your name in, crack on if it makes you feel better. I would really start writing to your MP. I really think it's if you're...
We putting are your name strong. On the petition can't hurt, can it? But it's unlikely to help as
it
well.
It can help, but it's going to get ignored. If we're all being honest.
I think the advice was to write to your MP, wasn't it? It was.
Yeah, I mean, it's been proven, unless it's some campaign for some gay bashing that happened in the past and Stephen Fry's all for it, then it's going to get ignored. It's basically the... Yeah.
But I think even Stephen Fry's come in support of these kind of things, and he even his wide-reaching power doesn't have an effect.
No.
I'm feeling very disillusioned about this because, you know, it doesn't seem to be being changed.
No, and I think... I mean, you can see it's getting rushed through, and the timing of it all is just to fit in with upcoming budgets and elections.
Maybe we just have to ride this one out, and eventually the downsides will become obvious to those who are ignoring them at the moment, and when they suddenly find that they're taken offline for whatever reason, maybe we'll hear some more about it.
I remain to be convinced.
As do I. Here we are. So not only will all your websites and you be disconnected from the internet now, you're likely to get all these nice letters still from ACS Law saying that you've downloaded naughty stuff and pay £500 now.
And the nice angle on this time was that O2 are condemning the lawyers behind these letters. So we talked about this, I'm sure it was last October, November time.
Yep.
And you know, legal firms sending out all these letters, a lot of it was, you know, where's the evidence, prove it, etc. O2's come out against it and said, we were legally obliged to provide information and the correct paperwork was presented, we will comply with the law, but we prefer the win-win approach of encouraging the development of new business models that offer customers the content they want, how they want it, for a fair price. Now,
so then, and just to be clear, that's O2 saying, we think what you're doing is dirty and scheming.
Oh, absolutely.
And let's come up with a model where your clients, who you say you represent, get money still, but in a fair and proportional way.
And the problem is ACS Law, they've said they've identified around 60,000 IP addresses in the UK, and they expect to get, for every 1,000 addresses, 400 actual physical, as in street addresses, to tie back to those IP addresses. Experts argue the IP address can't be used as evidence in court because it's not proof that the owner of the PC was actually responsible for the downloading. Seemingly hundreds of people have now complained to Which, saying they've been wrongly accused, including pensioners who claim they don't know how to download content. It's to cause distress to some of the accused, particularly as some of the content they're accused of downloading is hardcore pornography.
Which is exactly the point of the letters in the first place, isn't it? Is to embarrass you into action.
And that was the issue last year. It was, you have downloaded some dodgy material, we're going to take you to court and you'll be embarrassed, or give us this cash.
And we still don't know, first of all, who these people are representing properly. And we also don't know if they've ever taken anyone to court.
Nope. So the law firm, all they're doing is they won't say who the clients are represented by, who's this DigiProtect. I guess it must be this kind of pseudo firm. Just saying there are a variety, some in music, some in computer games, and some in adult content movies.
I think, you know, if I ever got a letter, I can't see why I would, but if I ever got a letter, I'd be so tempted just to ignore it. I'm sure it's not good practice to, it's probably not good advice to do that, but let's let them, if they're going to take it to court, they would do, wouldn't they?
But
certainly wouldn't
said,
be paying the £500.
Yeah, I've not heard anything about somebody actually going to court. Because and the thing would be, it's easy money in some ways, because have you got the funds to go to court and actually, you know, go through all the proper representation and say, well, hold on, prove it. Prove that was me.
Yeah, well, I mean, what really bugs me about all of these things that we hear about, these, you know, copyright infringements and the fines and stuff is how unproportional everything is. I mean, you can get speeding fines and tickets, whatever, £60 fixed penalty, not £500 for downloading a 99 pence single, you know.
No, exactly. It's not just that, it's the fact, it's like, you know, people are getting attacked in streets and people are getting, you know, community service or even less than some of these fines.
Yeah, so you can be a proper criminal, what I would consider a proper criminal, and not have any of these, you know, repercussions.
Absolutely. We almost sound like Tories, you know that?
Tories? Well, I mean, we should set up a site and have a Twitter tag to that people can post to.
Do you know, that's a great idea.
Do you think they should do that?
Yeah. So, no, I love this. I came home from work today and this made me laugh out loud. Lol, 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 lol.
Proper lols.
So the Tories this morning launched a hashtag. So they said, use Twitter, use the hashtag #CashGordon and start bashing Gordon Brown. And the best bit about it is this will all appear on our homepage. Now, I'm sure we covered stuff last year. Was it not Windows 7 launch when Microsoft did the same thing?
Ooh,
and they were shocked and dismayed when Apple fanboys started putting up Windows sucks and all that kind of stuff.
You can just imagine, though, the fat Tories, can't you? Oh, that'll be good. We can bash them on our website.
Well, the thing is, you know, these guys are
all Tories sound like that.
These guys have got a good chance of running the country, so you'd think they've done their homework. What could possibly go wrong?
So what did go wrong?
Well, it's summed up, and we'll put the link in the show notes. It is summed up in, it's a great Flickr infographic, is the best way of putting it, from Meg Pickard. And I'm just going to read through all this because this is just class. So on the left-hand axis, this is where a video podcast would make so much more sense. So level of smugness at Conservative Party WebHQ was around about 60% odds or whatever. And we launched. Sluggish take-up, because it's not a very good idea. People start using Cash Gordon hashtag. People start using Cash Gordon hashtag to insult Tories. Disrupt site. It then starts to fail. The Tories, their smugness level, publicly patting themselves on the back for having an open hashtag policy and reassuring concerned bigwigs that all buzz is good buzz. Then people started to realise that it's not just the content they're not filtering, that you can include markup and it would display the markup. So David Cameron is a... James Hunt appeared in 48-point bold red font.
Didn't even do a profanity check?
Nope. And this was on the Conservative Party. This is on their main website.
Excellent.
People then realised tweets could contain JavaScript. So an alert window popped up saying, knickers. It then redirected to labour.org.uk.
Oh, fantastic.
It then redirected to Chat Roulette. It then redirected to a Rick Astley video.
Oh, how brilliant.
It then redirected to some OAP porn.
See now, for all the moaning I'm sure this is going to generate, there's some very, very clever and highly creative people out there.
It's at that point, so roughly, I'm guessing about 80 minutes in, that the site was taken offline.
Right.
There was a redirect URL to main Conservative site, but I accidentally mistyped the address, so it 404'd.
Right.
A server level redirect was then put in place to the Conservative site, and then they kind of got back on track. Now, the best bit about this is you've now got, and it had to be in the Telegraph. You've now got the Telegraph spinning the story that it was actually Labour stooges that hacked their website.
No, it really wasn't.
It really wasn't. If you're taken in by that, then you're a muppet. Some people thought it was a great idea, didn't do their homework, and they threw that up.
I mean, come on, someone getting an alert box from JavaScript saying knickers. I mean, that's just funny. Just downright funny.
So I thought, and the best bit of the whole day was just that infographic that just made me smile. That might go as my Windows background tomorrow. Might be through the whole election campaign. So when they're talking absolute tripe, I can look back on that day and remember just what happened.
And they're going to now start, well, surely this will be in print on them how bad modern technologies are. And
oh, there'll be some horrible story spun about how this is all Labour and hacks and all sorts of nonsense.
It's the youth of today.
Absolutely, I wouldn't know.
Right, I have no segue for this one, but Windows Phone 7. Windows Phone 7 series. You said continued, so I assume there's more news come out this week.
Well, yes, and to be honest, I need Shaquille here for this one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because he was loving this.
Yes, I haven't spoken to Shaq for a little while, but I can hear the smugness.
Oh, it's massive. So I think we're just finishing off last week's podcast, as in we'd finished when I started blabbering on about, oh, the developer tools are fantastic, and then I cut it out. So
yes. So it's, I think that was just as well. It really wasn't podcast worthy, was it?
No, there was a bit of a ramble towards the end.
We saved our listeners from...
Probably a bit like this, actually. The Silverlight XNA blend and developer tools are available now. So if you go to developer.windowsphone.com, and actually, as I said last week, I still think this looks amazingly good. They seem to be tackling, they seem to be following very much the Apple iPhone model. And I still think there's a lot of scope for that. I know people are saying, oh, you know, you're too late, etc. Never too late.
Never too late.
Never too late.
To admit that you got it wrong last time.
Yes. But the best bit for me, and I love this, there's no copy and paste.
How ridiculous.
Oh.
You would have thought, especially after all of their rubbish, all these moans, and even from them, I think, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And Shaquille can take particular pleasure, because when he bought an iPhone, there was so many people, I think it was at his old work, actually, and it might have even been Tam, because Tam only 2 or 3 years ago was a blooming Bill Gates fanboy. There's little posters up in his wall and bow down to Bill and all that nonsense. But yeah, there's no copy and paste. And now some of the fanboys can't really take that. So there's one in particular, and he always kind of winds me up. It's a guy called Paul Thurow, who does his Windows fantastic website. I can never remember what it is. But if you go back to one of his blog posts in 2007, actual quote, and what's up with the lack of cut, copy, paste? And this is talking about iPhone version 1.0. This is in 2007. This is a basic OS feature that Apple included in the first Mac OS almost 25 years ago. It's inexplicably missing from the iPhone, unavailable in any application in the wider system itself. Unreal.
And everything he said there, I kind of agree with.
Unreal.
I agree with what he said, but so he's going to have to eat his words now, isn't he?
Oh, roll forward. Windows phones. Oh, the best bit about this is he actually put up some tweets saying, I know everybody's saying it's not there, but I think it is. Wow. Then when he eventually did his post, Windows Phone 7, there have been some weird complaints this week, and you can almost feel the anti-Microsoft brigade chipping away at the patina of perfection that Microsoft has tried to erect around its new baby. The multitasking is limited. Users will be only able to get apps from the marketplace and not from the third parties. Gasp, it's true that there's no copy and paste. Is that unreal? No. No matter. that's his comment on it. No matter. Windows Phone combines those very few things that were right about Windows Mobile. Yeah, that's a tumbleweed sound. Primarily some business functionality, with a much wider set of new functionality that is exciting in both scope and possibility. Suck it, fanboys. That's all I want to say. Great phone, great platform, but just leave all this nonsense out. It was the same when they were complaining about the iPhone years ago.
Yeah, it does seem a strange decision though, doesn't it, really?
Does it?
Really, to not put copy and paste in.
How often have you used copy and paste since you've got an iPhone?
About 3 or 4 times.
Exactly. Next story.
Yes. IE9.
Way!
Again, I'm really surprised, seeing as my job is involved around browsers, and in fact my whole life at the moment, seeing as I don't do anything but work, I haven't even heard about IE9 until you put it in there.
Neither have I. That wasn't my story.
Who put it? It wasn't me.
It was mine. I am pulling your leg. IE9 was launched last week, and I think it was the day after, or sort of last Tuesday.
We launched as a preview, right?
Launched as a preview, so you can go to ie.microsoft.com/test-drive.
Okay.
And the focus is on performance. The focus
is
on
good.
HTML5.
Which is good, probably.
And standards support.
Never.
Indeed.
I don't believe it.
No, honestly, believe. So CSS3 support is in there, so opacity, rounded corners, all that good stuff. SVG is now supported, which is amazing. The one thing they weren't clear about was Canvas element support, but I think that's now being confirmed as being in. One that I couldn't believe was that the HTML5 tags for audio and video tagging is there. That's not in the current preview, but it will come. And it's also supporting H.264 720p video was shown running directly in the browser.
So just through a tag basically. You can have that streamed through. Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that is obviously there's a big hoo-ha, especially if you're an Apple kind of geek, about Flash and why do you need Flash and do you really need Flash just for video, all that kind of stuff. But that's now IE9. It will be Chrome and Safari all now supporting H.264. The only difference is Firefox, which has gone for the OGG video format.
And Firefox is struggling with it because they didn't understand how they could put 264 into their browser without making compromises on their open source base.
Yes.
Which is clearly an issue for them.
Indeed. So other IE9 features, there's a new JavaScript engine, so which now they're saying it's 6 times better than IE8. So they're now better than Firefox and just slightly behind Chrome and Safari in initial tests.
I don't really care how fast it is as long as it works the same way as the other browsers.
Indeed. And IE9 makes now full use of hardware acceleration.
Which sounds like a good idea.
One other little tidbit that came out, they're actually putting support into jQuery. So they're actually going to put development resource from a coding, testing, and giving back to the community in jQuery.
If they can make their calls consistent across them and the rest.
I know.
Because at the moment, you know, every time you make a change, it's painful as a developer because you have to check it across all the browsers.
And we have
and Microsoft
luxury.
Is always the one that breaks.
We have a luxury at our place in that because we're developing internal, it's one browser. Unfortunately, that browser is IE6.
Yes.
So the advantage is quite a hindrance. But at the same time, not having to deal with a variety of browsers is a real luxury.
As soon as they bring, if they bring it in line, and it sounds from these announcements like they're going to try.
Oh, definitely.
But if they can bring it in line, then again, it's just it makes so many people's lives a lot easier, and it would mean that organisations like yours wouldn't be stuck with Internet Explorer 6.
And one more thing to quote Steve Jobs: no XP support.
So they're moving on.
They're moving on, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. Not easy to do for a company of that size.
It's just as well IE and everyone else is developing new browsers because the Germans are running out of them.
Schnell, schnell.
The government has come out this week and said people shouldn't use Firefox now in Germany. There's been a security flaw highlighted in Firefox and blah, blah, blah that enables people to take control of their computer. So now they can't use IE, which they said that people couldn't use maybe a month ago now. And now they're saying Firefox.
I'm just wondering, could Google be Germany in disguise or vice versa?
Yeah.
Are Google the new Nazis of the world and they've convinced Germany to standardise on Chrome and then they'll slowly start to take over?
I think quick elbow in the ribs going, here, Germany, look, there's another one.
Every browser has these issues.
And I'm sure Chrome and every one of them will have these issues.
It's the same way, and I think this is one of the big hack weeks, isn't it? And they're already talking about they're going to show 20, iPhone issues where you can be attacked and the same on Mac desktops and the same on Windows desktops. And it's like, who cares?
Another thing that came out of this story is the fact that Firefox are aware of this issue. They've admitted, they've agreed it's there, this bug, and that they are fixing it.
Yes.
And I think the update's out maybe within a week or something along those lines. It's not long.
No, I think they said end of month, which is just a week away.
Yeah, a week away.
Yep.
And so issuing a statement like that is it really that serious and widespread that the damage this is going to cause to Firefox is justified in the announcement? Don't know.
Stupid Germans, I see.
But one browser that is feeling love at the moment is Opera, who have said that their downloads have doubled since Microsoft put in the browser selection screen.
But if you're only downloading, if your last week's downloads was 3,
it's quite easy to get to 6. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I hadn't quite thought about it that way. Yeah. Still not worth the effort, is it, for the moment? But so that shows that there's, it's having an effect.
Definitely. And I just threw in a little addendum to your story. And it was just out today saying that in the last month since this browser choice has come in, IE is down 1% in the UK, 1.3% in Italy, and in France, 2.5%.
Which is significant considering the numbers of IE users.
Definitely.
But it's still not a massive jump, is it?
No, but I don't think it ever was going to be.
No, I didn't think so.
I know it was, but I'd love to know the actual figures behind that, because it's quite an impact anyway.
I think it'll take a while to actually fully see the impact of it. Takes people, you know, every single time a new Windows 7 computer is delivered now, that browser screen will be there. So, we'll see. We will see. And will we see Google on our TVs?
Oh, I don't know. This came out last week as another aspect of Android. Google, Intel and Sony working together on what has been branded Google TV. And this is basically bringing web to living room through a set-top box.
Isn't that being done by multiple different types of platform at the moment?
Well, I thought so, but there seemed to be a lot of buzz around this specific partnership. More so because I've actually went to Logitech and said, give me a good remote control as well. So I don't know if at some point we're going to see an actual, here is a Google TV or a Google set-top box that is specifically from them. The same way as like the Nexus One, they seem to partner up with all these other people and then focus in every so often on maybe like, but here's our take on it as well.
I guess it's continuing Google's model of they need to get themselves anywhere where there is a consumer advert.
Absolutely. And
obviously TV is a massive one. That does worry me from a consumer's point of view is about how, you know, is this going to be an advertising focused product, which we're all trying to get away from, really, aren't we?
Yeah. But it's I don't know. It's got out of everything, because everybody was comparing last week Google TV to Apple TV. Apple TV to me is just never taking off. Apple still call it a hobby, which I don't think helps the platform. Are you really going to spend £300-£400 on somebody's hobby, you know, if that's coming from the company itself?
Yeah.
You know, you really need to see something a bit more committed. And this could be it. And I guess all I was thinking, I don't know if I picked it up somewhere, somebody mentioned it somewhere, maybe in one of the podcasts I listened to, about, can you imagine a version of Google TV that will download, unpack and move all your content around? And, you know, and I guess by the downloading and unpacking, I know I'm not talking about from legitimate sources. You know, so if it can be, if that was all set up and just worked. Oh, very nice.
Well,
very nice.
Yes. We don't know much about it, though, do we, as far as what this is actually going to be?
No, and the actual story wasn't talking about TV itself. It was more talking about web apps, which I know could be turned into TV. So it might be like seeing Hulu or seeing, you know, YouTube. But
I don't know how much you've ever used, say, Twitter on your Xbox.
Once, and then thought never again.
You want your TV for video and TV content.
Pretty much. Push some, you know, I've been doing a bit more music and photos through it now as well, but that's a push.
Yeah.
You know, it's still video, and I still don't want to fire up little apps. And I guess, I don't know, maybe if it was dead easy, maybe if I could just press a button and up popped a little, here's the weather, you know, and I didn't have to do very much, then maybe it would become second nature.
But that would be in addition to and alongside you watching a TV show, say.
Yeah, but as I'm saying, they were specifically focusing last week on, the news seemed to be focusing on actually making web applications and making them easy to navigate.
Effectively adding I thought there are other TVs doing this as well, which is
adding
little widgets over the top of the TV, effectively.
Is it Samsung that's partnered with Yahoo? I think Yahoo were trying to get a lot of their little widgets into quite a few TV manufacturers.
Talking of apps and widgets, the iPad is coming. I mean, that's what's that all about? Didn't we know that?
That's just because I couldn't think of anything else to say.
There was no witty headline for that.
No, it's a Monday night and I was feeling tired. You didn't think there was thought put into this, man?
There never is.
Amazon, and I guess this is, I think it was you actually, you Doubting Thomas, who
me?
Was like, yeah, where's the magazines and where's the future and where's my jetpack? I'm sure when iPad came out, it was all disappointing.
Yeah.
So Amazon today confirmed that Kindle apps for tablet computers, including the iPad, will be out for the iPad. So if you actually go to the website, they've not just said Kindle for iPad, which is you'd think is the sensible one. They've actually said Kindle apps for tablet computers, and then in smaller print next to it, including the iPad. It won't be ready for April the 3rd, which is the launch date in America, but it will support, you know, browsing and buying of books from the Kindle store, read on one device, continue on another, bookmarks, notes, annotations. So everything you can do in your Kindle, or everything you can do in the Kindle software on PC and also on Mac, because that came out last week, you will be able to do on the iPad as well.
So iPad is it's probably the most cross-platform aware device for books.
Absolutely. No, because you've got Kindle, you're going to have iBooks from Apple itself. Barnes & Noble have also said that their app will come to the iPad and allows you to browse a store, etc.
It's fair, and they obviously port the open book formats as well as their own.
Yep, because that was confirmed that the iBook application will allow you to bring in the open format books as well.
Is it only fair to say at the moment this is only US content that we're talking about?
Oh, absolutely, because there's been no mention of the bookstore for the UK.
In fact, didn't they flat out say it wasn't going to be there to start with?
Yeah, well, all I've said is we've got content deals to go and sort out, and that's all they've said. I'm not even, all they've said is late April for the UK, and that wouldn't surprise me if it turned into, 25th of May.
Yeah.
Non-committal. There's no price for the UK, and there's no actual date.
So again, I think my point stands that the most compelling reason, one of the things they tried to sell, was the fact that it had a bookstore. Other than everything you can do on your iPhone and your iPod Touch,
yes,
the most compelling added feature was the application they showed for the news application and the bookstore, which neither are going to be available to the UK.
No, but I think I still think the big thing is going to be what the iPad App Store brings. So what apps specifically for the iPad get developed?
Yeah, and that was my point. They didn't offer an environment that, it's up to people to create their own apps.
Yes.
They haven't created an environment where someone can easily plug in to an application.
No, but I think that's got real potential still. Just the amount of buzz all around the Apple developers who are obviously getting stuff ready. So I think it was it Friday or Saturday? Apple pinged out a mail to all developers saying you can now submit your applications. And they must be submitted by 27th of March to be included in the App Store for the 3rd of April launch. And obviously the risk is you're launching software and relying on the simulator within Xcode.
Yes, because there's very few iPads being actually sent to
them. Seemingly there's some level one tier developers have had actual physical hardware had access to it.
I think Rupert Murdoch had one. there were stories early in the week about how locked down everyone had to be to actually even be considered to be, receive one.
There's definitely a risk that in the rush to get that initial, I remember when I bought my iPhone, I was like, oh, monkey ball straight away. There was like five or six apps that I just had to buy that day just because of the demos. And I'm sure the iPad's going to be the same. That first day buzz, you're just going to find people buying apps just because they're there and they want to try them.
Yeah, it's going to be the same though. It's going to be hit and miss in some way. Some people are going to get it right. Some people are going to get it wrong. And I guess absolutely. Over time, people will catch up.
Yep. And I think going to more to the point you had made before about magazines. And again, show notes, I can't be bothered reading it out. But there's about three or four specific magazines have demoed over the last week what their iPad apps are going to be like.
So they are on board.
I just think
it's, there's a lot of effort there.
I do hear you and I do know what you're saying, but there you go.
Fingers crossed for UK. Football Real Kick.
Now we're on to some. We're now on to a couple of little tiddler stories just to round off our podcast this week. So Football Real Kick. This is an iPhone app,
right?
And so you need two iPhones, and you need to draw a pitch. You need to get a little, you need to basically, how they get the polystyrene packing? You need to get a little foam polystyrene ball, so very lightweight ball.
Right.
And then you play football by, you press a kick button on the screen, which plays a sound, and because the sound pushes some air, it pushes the ball.
Laugh while you're doing it, because the ball will go flying.
Pretty much. I think you need to be gagged. When you look at the video, it just looks like ridiculously good fun. It also looks ridiculous that to play tabletop football, you've spent, you know, £400 each on an iPhone plus 15p an app, and still had to draw a picture.
And don't forget that bit of phone packaging.
Yeah, but it just made me chuckle. Ingenuity.
I'll look at that video. It's in the show notes for everyone else.
It'll be later. In the show notes, yes. And one other video, which this is up there with the piano improv chatterlet videos from through the week.
That was good.
I just think are genius.
That's worth it as a...
I'll add them to the show notes.
The Best of YouTube has got that on it. Bestofyoutube.com, it's on there.
Yeah. But so this is a video of a 17-month-old baby using an iPhone. And it really is a 17-month-old baby using an iPhone. Now, you watch the video and at first you're like, yeah, you can switch it on. But it does kind of swipe, you know, with authority.
I am watching it now. It's... I can't believe it's true.
No, I think it is.
It looks wrong.
I think it is. I think he's getting, obviously, he or she is getting a bit of coaching.
But it's the actions. The actions are absolutely perfect. So she sort of flicks.
The whole swipe, even the swipe to switch on, it's like, that's not the first time that's been done. The swiping.
She just swipes in exactly the way that you're supposed to. In fact, she gets it to respond far better than I get mine to.
It can't be your pick.
This is my pick. Everyone's got to go and look at this because I don't have a pick. So this is my pick.
You absolute pick thief.
Oh, it's brilliant. She's flicking through the photos. Look at that go. Brilliant.
It is class. I don't know if it shows how easy an iPhone is to use or how quickly kids now grow up in this generation.
Yeah, my goodness.
I don't know which one is which.
Yes, I'm not sure about that either. It's brilliant though.
It is.
Sorry, I should stop watching the video now and get back to the show, shouldn't I?
No, you've not got a pick. You could continue watching the video and I'll do my pick.
What's your pick then?
My pick is, I'm sounding like a boring geek, which makes me think I'm a boring geek. But I do like stats. I do use Last.fm. So I scrabble my music up onto Last.fm. This is I think it's Mac only. It's Mac only, but a software called Last History, which will visualize your Last.fm listening history.
How? Visualize it?
Yes. So it connects to your Last.fm account and basically, against the date, then creates a almost like a visual timeline of your Last.fm playlist, your Last.fm history. And then you can, and it takes quite a while to do, but then you can move your mouse over it and see all the different days that you've played certain tracks. And those little patterns do get established. And
how does it display the tracks then, as the album art?
No, because it's because you're viewing in like, I mean, I think I've got over 10,000 scrabbles now, and I'm probably not one of the big users. You know, there's a couple of guys I know are well over 100,000 tracks. No, on Last.fm that they've played, so obviously it takes quite a while. It's just almost just little marks in a diary type thing. You know, so down the bottom you've got a timeline and you can extend it and zoom in this timeline. But if you then hover over and click on one of these little links, it'll then show you all the different times that you've played that track. Which is quite nice. And you can also play tracks from the app itself, so it's a bit of a kind of, it's almost like another way of getting into your music and all that information that's there. One other thing that's
a look at the video now, so it's almost like a point graph.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I'm getting the idea now.
Yeah, and it is really nice. Now another option is that you can. There's two different modes. There's analysis mode, which you can go into, and you know, look at all the, you know, looking at the different parts of your listening history. But there's a personal mode, and the personal mode will also look at your photos in an iPhoto library and your calendar entries. So you can see almost like music matching up to events as have happened. So it's actually quite a nice little app, and it was put together as a It was part of some, this sounds really terrible, some guy's thesis.
Okay.
So it was pronunciation's going to really do me now. It was Jack Bauer's cousin, basically, Dominicus.
I don't know.
Who was at the University of Munich. And it's really, really, really nice.
So you can go and have a look at the dates that Girls Aloud got to number one and work out that you were listening to them all that week.
Well, if you've synced into that calendar and you have it in iCal, then yes, you can.
You'd probably find out some very frightening correlations, I'm sure.
Oh, there is. And it's just one of these nice little gimmicky apps that I quite like. It just starts to tie in a bit more of my listening habits as well.
Very good. Thank you for that. And that is us done for this week.
Woo!
Wow. I think if we don't drag this end bit out, then we'll probably be one of the quickest we've ever done. So let me just round off then by saying you can find out more about us at digitaloutbox.com. You can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com. We are on Twitter as Digital Outbox, and you can leave us a message on Skype on Digital Outbox. Ian, where can we find more about you?
IanD.net is my blog, and Shweeper is my Twitter account.
And my blog is chrishutchinson.org.uk, and I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. And we shall see you next week.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye.
Bye. 3 times say goodbye.
So did I.
I had to remind myself 3 times that I'd forgotten I was hosting.
I did kind of notice at some point. I was like,
those very slightly longer than uncomfortable pauses, and I was thinking, oh crap, it's me.
And I'd love to say I'm going to fix it and edit, but you know I can't be asked. So.
No, and I say fair enough. Leave it unsullied for the listener.
Well, you see, I keep on. I do have the vain hope that because I put chapters in, that people do find the podcast. Oh, move to the next chapter. If not,
I just like the pretty pictures.
So our aim to promote the podcast, I've figured it out, is basically to get a 17-month-old kid listening to our podcast and flipping through the chapters.
Absolutely.
That would be gold.
We need to go and employ this kid.
Or make babies. Not me and you, obviously.